Well, the Vatican has some new Ten Commandments out. They have everything to do with, I guess you could call them new rules for the road. The Ten Commandments for drivers from the Vatican, of all places, here in the first hour of issues, half hour of issues, etc. We've got some audio open lines. We're going to hear an ABC News story on the Vatican's Ten Commandments for drivers. Among them, be charitable and help your neighbor in need, especially victims of accidents. You shall not kill is the first one. I mean, that's a good rule to follow. If you get in your car, maybe the first thing you should think about is don't kill anybody with the car. But I want to know what you make of the Vatican's Ten Commandments for drivers here in the first half hour. Audio open lines issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll hear those Ten Commandments, and I want to know what you think. Then, in the second half hour of the program, for a few minutes, we'll talk with Pastor Glenn Merritt about some ongoing relief efforts in the aftermath of Texas floods. There's one town in Texas. It's pretty much gone after the heavy rains they've been experiencing there. And then we'll spend some time from about quarter to four to the end of the hour. Some more audio open lines. We'll hear some comments made yesterday by a Christian woman who co-hosted ABC's The View. Openly Christian, they were very curious. The other ladies there on the panel were very curious about what's it like to be a Christian. Do you watch The View? If so, why not? If Rosie O'Donnell's gone, they're looking for a new host, who would you choose to replace Rosie O'Donnell on The View? Some of those questions coming up here in about a half hour on the program. Audio open lines at 4 o'clock, an NBC News interview with an elder in the Mormon church. We started it yesterday. We'll continue it today. In fact, he gets into some of the meat of polygamy and his explanation for why they did, but now they don't, and if they will. Two ABC News packages on the impact of Mitt Romney's Mormonism on his presidential bid. I don't know if it's hurting him or not. If he weren't a Mormon, who knows? He might be so far out ahead of everybody else, but there's no way of knowing because he is. We have a CNN story on the military's attempt to make what is being called a gay bomb. Now, it was proposed to the Pentagon. The Pentagon said it didn't even consider it seriously, but then a watchdog group has found some information saying that they really did take it seriously. Supposedly, this would make the enemy's soldiers so amorous for one another, they wouldn't be able to fight. What do you think? Should homosexuality be used as a weapon? Is all fair in love and war? It would, if it worked, cause people to sin. But after all, on the battlefield, there's all sorts of sinning going on. If it caused them to sin and we still win the war, is it worth it? We'll talk about that later on issues, etc. Our call-in numbers again, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. It's the 20th of June this Wednesday, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. What do you think of the Vatican issuing a new Ten Commandments for drivers? This is a big problem. All of us drive. We're a driving culture. I spend 35 minutes in my car one way to get here. So that adds up, not counting other driving I do during the day, to about an hour and a half or so in my car with other drivers on the highway. Do you need a Ten Commandments from the Vatican on how to drive? We have an ABC News story on the Vatican's Ten Commandments. Is this the kind of stuff you expect from your church? And in particular, is this the kind of stuff you expect from the Vatican? Should church leaders be sitting down and thinking, look, people spend a lot of time in the cars every day. We've given them directives and principles for living and principles for this and that and all the other endeavors of their life, but we've neglected one of the major activities in our life, which is sitting behind the wheel. Here's the story from ABC News.
Primitive, psychological regression, loss of sense of responsibility.
You know, they give you the finger, they cut you off, they don't care.
Yup, I'd say that about sums up the mental state of many drivers the world over. At least that's the way the Vatican describes it. For the first time, the Roman Catholic Church has issued a spiritual roadmap, if you will, for how to behave like a believer behind the wheel. A list of 10 commandments for drivers. While extolling the virtues of driving, the document calls for charity, prudence, and prayer on the road.
And that means let somebody else go first. And that doesn't happen here. Because the little scooters zoom in and out.
The document does make special mention of the hazards of motorcycles, and the Holy See may have had notoriously bad Roman traffic in mind when it issued the guidelines, but road rage is not isolated to Italians. And it's not that the Pope doesn't love cars, if his souped-up Mercedes-Benz is anything to go by, but on the highway to heaven, speeding is apparently a sin. The document also refers to drivers who use their cars to show off and inspire envy. No word on whether the Ferrari owners blessed by Pope Benedict a few years ago are included in that criticism.
Easy rider.
Stephanie Tsai, ABC News, New York.
All right, there's a story from ABC News. The Vatican has issued these Ten Commandments for drivers. I want your reaction to it. Is this what you expect from your church leaders? I mean, who could argue that it isn't practical because we drive so much? If even people pay attention to five of the ten, we might have less road rage. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. What do you think about using the term Ten Commandments? I can walk around my neighborhood greeting my neighbors, and I could say to them, I could say, "Hi, and how you doing, Todd?" And I can say, "Oh, I want you to start calling me El Presidente, because I'm president of Little Wilkinland there on the corner in Waterloo, Illinois." And they laugh at me. They know it doesn't mean anything. The term Ten Commandments usually means the Ten Commandments, right? Do you have any problem with the Ten Commandments for drivers? It's got to be a first from the Vatican, I'm sure. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The first of the Ten Commandments for drivers, you shall not kill. That's good advice. I hope not to die when I get in my car or to cause anyone else to die. Number two, the road shall be for you a means of communion between people and not of mortal harm. Commandment number three, courtesy, uprightness, and prudence will help you deal with unforeseen events. Commandment number four, be charitable and help your neighbor in need, especially victims of accidents. Commandment number five, cars shall not be for you an expression of power and domination and an occasion of sin. Charitably convince the young and the not so young to drive when they are not in a fitting condition, not to drive when they're not in a fitting condition to do so. Commandment number seven, support the families of accident victims. Eight, bring guilty motorists and their victims together at the appropriate time so that they can undergo the liberating experience of forgiveness. Nine, on the road, protect the more vulnerable party. And the last of the Ten Commandments for drivers, feel responsible toward others. Well, you can't argue that this isn't common sense. Look, this means something to me because you might not know this, but my driving record is checkered at the best. I mean, nothing super serious like DUI or anything like that, but in my past, I have not taken as seriously as I should the speed limits. And for some reason, I got caught a lot. And so I got to spend a Saturday in traffic school in Springfield, Illinois, a couple of years ago, just to keep my license. There's a law about that in Illinois. You can only have so many moving violations. Now, mine were never about recklessness. It was always about just violating that old speed limit. There's nothing in here about the speed limit, though. Now, you got to hand it to the Pope because he's a German, by birth, and in Germany they have that Autobahn. Well, if you're fast enough, you can go as fast as you want on the Autobahn. So maybe that's the reason the Pope didn't issue any speed limit commandments in his Ten Commandments for drivers. Do you think that the Vatican's Ten Commandments for drivers is a good idea? A bad idea? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, or 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850. Listening in Saginaw, Michigan, here's Rob. Hi, Rob.
How are you?
I'm very well.
To me, it kind of reeks a little bit of the fact that the Vatican, because of their own actions the last few years, has become kind of irrelevant to a lot of people. And I think it's kind of an example of them trying to get their name out there, or get out front of anything they can to try and say, hey, don't forget about us. We're still here.
We're still relevant?
Yeah, you know, I think that's part of it. You know, we're still relevant, and I got to correct you on one thing on the speed limit. The speed limit is merely a suggestion.
What do you mean?
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I tried that one with a couple officers. They didn't take it that seriously either. Rob, do you think that it could be the Vatican hired a secular public relations firm to get out the word on this issue, the Ten Commandments for drivers?
Well, there's nobody in the world that's had a worse couple last few years than the Vatican. And I would not be a bit surprised if they aren't trying to appear more outreaching and compassionate than with the things that have gone on the last couple of years.
Rob, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Saginaw. I miss that area of the country. I did my vicarage in Bay City, which is about 20 miles north of where Rob is. Beautiful country. Right there on the crook of the thumb of Michigan. That's what I wondered when I heard this news story about the Vatican's Ten Commandments for drivers. It would not have surprised me at all to hear that Rick Warren decided to come up with a new Ten Commandments for drivers. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. In fact, I imagine he probably already has. It wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, I would expect this from Joel Osteen. In fact, I imagine if you go back to the many sermons that Joel Osteen has preached at Lakewood down in Houston, Texas, you probably will find some sermon where he talks about how you behave in your car. In his book, Your Best Life Now, he several times considers getting the prime parking space a blessing from God. God blesses him by giving him prime parking spaces. So I wouldn't be surprised to hear this from Joel Osteen, that Joel and his organization said, look, let's give people something they can really use. I mean, all that Bible, Jesus, sin, and salvation stuff is good, but let's give them something that's really useful to them in their everyday life, Ten Commandments for drivers. But the Vatican, that's what puzzled me here. I cannot imagine Pope Benedict, he's a serious-minded man, at least he appears to be. I can't imagine Pope Benedict sitting around in his papal apartments, watching the traffic outside his window, thinking to himself, you know, the one thing the church hasn't addressed in all of its 2,000-year history is how Christians behave on the road. That's what we need. Ten commandments for drivers. It's hard for me to imagine this was the Pope's idea. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Do you think it's just a PR stunt to try and soften the image of the Vatican? To assert its relevance, as Rob in Michigan seems to think? Do you have another explanation? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I wonder if most Roman Catholics can cite the real Ten Commandments, the ones from the Bible, before the Pope starts writing another 10 for drivers? Shouldn't we make sure that we know and understand and keep the first 10? The other thing that struck me when I heard this story is that I don't know what the driving age in Italy is, but here in the United States, for the most part, if you're not 16, this just doesn't apply to you. 16 and over, that is. My daughter's about to get her driver's license. And she's got her learner's permit. So at this point, these Ten Commandments for drivers are beginning to apply to her, but last year they didn't. She wasn't behind the wheel. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines live this Wednesday, June the 20th. Our phone numbers as we talk about the Vatican's Ten Commandments for drivers. I want to hear your reaction to it. It's all over the news. Issues, etc. at kfuo.org is the email address, and our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It came from the Vatican. I mean, many weighty ideas, documents, encyclicals, pronouncements come from the Vatican every year. Most of them are received by Roman Catholics with some degree of seriousness. What do you think our Roman Catholic listeners think about the Ten Commandments for drivers? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know, when you come into, I think it's my home state, Texas. My wife always says, once you get into Texas, your chances of dying on the road increase exponentially. Because Texas drivers, especially in the big cities, are insane. They consider a safe following distance about 3.5 feet. Everybody's drafting everybody else. Really, the highways in Dallas are like NASCAR. Not that fast, but that close. And there's that much jockeying around for position and cutting people off. It's you got to drive it to believe it. Ironically, as you drive into Texas, there's a sign that says something like, drive friendly. That's the way Texans talk. Drive friendly. I don't know, maybe they should listen to the Vatican's Ten Commandments for drivers. It's Audio Open Lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Linda's calling from her car. Hi, Linda.
Hi. My comment or question, I guess, is with these Ten Commandments on driving from the Pope or the Vatican, I mean, is that sort of tongue-in-cheek, or are we going to start having all kinds of different commandments coming out of the Vatican? I mean, is this supposed to be really equal with what God is telling us in the Bible?
See, we're all thinking on the same wavelength here, Linda. That was my first... Jeff walked into my office this morning. Of course, I watch no television in the morning. He walks into my office and said, did you hear about this Vatican? Ten Commandments for drivers? And my first thought was, it's got to be a joke. It's like, you know, even the Pope can joke sometimes. So Ten Commandments for drivers, although apparently it's intended to be quite serious. I don't think it's tongue-in-cheek. And you ask a legitimate question, Linda. If the Vatican now feels at liberty to pen Ten Commandments for drivers, then there should be Ten Commandments for just about every human activity, right? Or could it be that this is the Vatican is a victim of its own being too clever by half, either trying to assert its relevance or perhaps listening to the advice of some sort of paid consultant PR guru who told them, look, guys, you got to soften up. You got to get your image more grassroots. You guys seem awfully ivory tower there in Vatican City. I mean, the Pope walking around with his robes on all the time and driving in that Pope mobile. What's that all about? Meet the people where they're at. People have felt needs, and maybe it's the felt needs gurus who have gotten to the Vatican for their Ten Commandments for drivers. You know, we often criticize American evangelicals for replacing the Ten Commandments with their evangelical house rules, where the rules of the house rules, and you evangelicals know what I'm talking about, the house rules become more important, more binding on your conscience than God's own commands. You think the Vatican's doing the same thing? See what Dennis in St. John, Michigan has to say. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. How are you?
I'm very well.
My only question, I didn't get to read it all, but are they offering indulgences in case you got to get somewhere a little quicker and want to speed?
Well, that's a great... What if you break these? I wonder if you... Would you have to confess these? I mean, now that you have broke... If you've broken these, I don't know. There's no promise, at least in the news story I have, there's no promise of indulgence.
Well... What's the use then? I already got 500 state laws.
Hey, that's a good point. Dennis, thank you very much. That's another... Well, look at it this way. there are laws. Now, these have to do a lot with the attitude of the heart, like communion between people, courtesy, uprightness, prudence, charitableness, not using your car as an expression of power or domination, charitably convince the young not to drive when they're not able to do so, protect the vulnerable, be responsible. These are matters of the heart that the state trooper doesn't care whether you feel charitable toward your fellow driver. The state trooper doesn't care whether you hate your fellow driver. All he cares is how fast were you going and were you driving in a straight line. So when you pull him over and you try and say, but you don't understand. Yes, I was going 75 miles an hour and I was tailgating that poor old lady, but I felt responsible for her and I had a charitable attitude toward her. All those rules of the road that we all abide by really have nothing to do with the state of our heart or our disposition toward our neighbor. These do. I mean, maybe that's what the Vatican thought was missing. Driving more, as the Texans would say, drive friendly. Drive nicer. Stephen St. Louis has emailed us, and this is what he says. Evangelicals should love this. Theologically, this is no different than the age of accountability doctrine that many believe in, that only those who can drive are accountable for their actions. That's an interesting take on it. Maybe the Vatican has now declared an age of accountability. I mean, as I said before, if you're not 16, these don't apply because you're not behind the wheel in most states. So you're not accountable for at least these 10 commandments until you're 16. Steve says, if I'm not a driver, then I'm not accountable likewise. And if I have not reached the age of accountability, then I'm not responsible for my sins and thus not accountable. Yeah, well, you're right. Another reason why, could it be, we've so often said that American evangelicals have been drifting, leaning, and slipping toward Rome in the last 30 years in their view of justification, how a man is made right before God. Not in appearance. They don't have the robes and the candles and the crucifixes, but in what they believe about how a man is saved, indistinguishable from Rome. Could it be that Rome is now drifting toward evangelicalism? In its, you know, the Ten Commandments are good, but they're not practical for everyday life. After all, I haven't killed anybody, and I haven't openly committed adultery, so that doesn't really apply to me. I'm not planning on doing any of that. I need better rules, better principles for living that really do apply to me and the kind of stuff I really do struggle with, which is why evangelicals replaced the Ten Commandments with principles for living a long time ago. Maybe the Vatican has been watching and learning and has decided that's what they need, too. A pope who issues Ten Commandments on how to drive. I don't think I've ever seen this pope drive. That's the big question I have in my mind. I've seen him being driven around in the pope mobile. At least the guy driving the pope mobile looks like he's being courteous. Although I think when push comes to shove, Pope Benedict doesn't really care whether or not that driver is being feeling kind, but whether or not he's driving in a straight line. We'll be right back. The Old Testament Psalms have been the prayer book of God's people for millennia. This is as true for Christians today as it was for the people of God in the Old Testament. Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June, is a great devotional resource called Reading the Psalms with Luther, a Christ-centered, cross-focused reading of the Psalms. The book is $14.99. You can find it at either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores, 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. The book is called Reading the Psalms with Luther. It's the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June. Those two locations, 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Now the historic prayer book of the church can be your prayer book too. Make the Psalms part of your daily Christian devotion with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Reading the Psalms with Luther.
University health centers are pushing abortion. This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A newly formed pro-life student newspaper at the University of California at Los Angeles launched its inaugural edition with an exposé of the university's health center. A pro-life student pretending to be pregnant visited the center where the personnel strongly urged her to seek an abortion. They emphasized the discomforts of pregnancy and told her she would receive very little support as a pregnant student. The student, Lila Rose, detailed her experience in the newspaper, The Advocate, and called upon pro-lifers to do more to reach out to pregnant college students and provide them with support.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, where values thrive, and online at thrivent.com.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. The Meyer Minute on Wednesday, hump day, halfway to the weekend. Today your energies may be flagging. Your zest for work may well be gone. Observant Jews take great delight in the fact that their day of rest, the Sabbath, is always coming. It's always coming. There is no time in their week when Sabbath rest and renewal aren't just around the corner. That's an expectant attitude, and that certainly must revive their flagging spirits. We Christians can learn from that. Our Savior says, "I will give you rest," Matthew 11:28. And so that means that even in the depths of work, and even on hump day, His rest and renewal are just around the corner. Are we there yet? Kids love to pester their parents with that question. Looking for some rest and spiritual renewal? Put that question to your Heavenly Father. Are we there yet? And His answer is, not yet, but this Wednesday you are almost there. Dear Father, may the promise of coming times of refreshment help me through this day. Amen. I'm Dale Meyer, and I thank you for listening.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, online at thrivent.com. We do more than work. We work with a purpose.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A few more minutes on this issue of the Vatican's Ten Commandments response to an email that we just got here, and then we'll be talking with Pastor Glenn Merritt about the Texas floods and relief efforts in the aftermath of those floods. Some more open lines. There was a Christian woman who co-hosted The View, and the other participants in The View's panel were just as curious as they could be about, it was almost as though they were staring at an alien. What's it like to be a Christian? What does that mean? We'll have some of that audio for you a little bit later during audio open lines here on Issues Etc. Andy in St. Louis writes this: I'm surprised and a little disappointed by the broadcast right now talking about the Vatican's Ten Commandments for drivers. I'm a Catholic, and I had actually started listening to the radio station recently. This particular show smacks of typical pop talk radio. In the particular topic quoted from ABC News, of all places, seems a little juvenile. Now, let me pause there and respond. I don't know what Andy's problem with ABC News is. I mean, it's not just ABC News. I have the AP story in front of me, and I believe that the local Fox station also did a story on this morning on television. So it's not simply, you know, something someone's made up. The Vatican has issued this document. It is the Ten Commandments for drivers. It is legitimate story. When the Vatican issues a document on other subjects, the news picks up on it, and we talk about it. This one, I've already expressed, seems a little peculiar for the Vatican to issue, and so that's why we're talking about it. And he goes on, has the host truly researched this topic, or is he just picking up on a topic for the sensational aspect of it? I don't know. Actually, I picked up on it because I'd like to make a point, which is basically the only reason we ever pick up on any news story here on Issues, etc. When we're not about the news, we're about making a point, which I'll get to in a moment. And he concludes, I had hoped that the station had a charitable conscience, but it appears I was wrong. Well, be patient, Andy. If I continue to listen, it will be more for entertainment than for true Christian discernment. Actually, true Christian discernment is really what this was all about. And I know you're a new listener, so let me explain. I think I made the point before the break that it's been the practice of American evangelicals to issue commandments. They don't call them commandments anymore. I mean, they call them principles or insights, or sometimes they call them rules, although that's a little harsh, even with the word rules. Principles, insights, above and beyond God's Ten Commandments. Now, they either do it because they think they've got the Ten Commandments all sewn up, and like New Testament Pharisees, you know, when you're obeying the Ten Commandments, you kind of say, what do I do now? Well, let's make some more rules to obey. Or you're afraid of breaking the Ten, and you think if you make a few on top of them, you can avoid breaking the Ten, which Jesus says you can't. It's been kind of the bread and butter of American evangelicalism to issue commandments in one form or another above and beyond the Ten Commandments that God has given us. You know, I can walk into a Roman Catholic church or a Lutheran church, and I can survey the people there and ask them to name the Ten Commandments, and very few of them can name all ten. And yet they're eating up with a spoon the new Ten Commandments on drivers or on driving, or the Ten Principles for this or that. And those who can name the Ten Commandments, when you ask them what they mean, they'll say things like, well, thou shalt kill means you shall not kill. Have you broken this commandment? No, I haven't killed anybody. So they display that they really don't know what it means. Jesus says, if you harbor animosity in your heart toward your neighbor, you have made yourself a murderer. So they deceive themselves into thinking that they've kept them, which is spiritually fatal, Andy. A person who says, I've kept them, must say at the same time, so I don't need Jesus to keep them for me. I don't need Jesus' perfect obedience because I'm handling it all by myself. You see, this really is all about spiritual discernment. Before we go on to pen new commandments, we should probably pay as much attention as we can to the original ten. A very wise man once said, the Ten Commandments give you so much to do, you can spend the rest of your life doing it and never be done. So this really is about taking God's word seriously. You know, I mentioned the New Testament Pharisees. They had, people often say that, over 600 commands that they imposed upon themselves and others. And they did this, they called it a fence around the law. They did this because they reasoned, if we can build this fence of commands around the Ten Commandments, we'll never break the Ten Commandments because we'll be spending all our time trying our hardest to keep even more stringent commandments than the Ten. But you know the problem with that is they considered the Ten Commandments to be kind of the bare minimum, and they're not. Jesus says they're not the bare minimum. You can't be more obedient to God than the kind of obedience he calls forth from you in the Ten Commandments. You can't be stricter than God. The Pharisees thought they could be stricter than God. And if they could be stricter than God, then they'd never break God's commands because they're all keeping their own. And Jesus says, what you've done is you've laid aside the command of God for the commands of men. You know where they got that idea, sadly? They regarded the Ten Commandments as manageable, keepable. They thought they could keep God's law. It's often said that that was because they were so self-righteous. I disagree. The Pharisees took the law very seriously. It's not that they had a high view of their own righteousness. It's that they had a very low view of God's. They thought God graded on a curve, and that what God commanded in the Ten Commandments was kind of like, all right, do your best. Give it the old college try. They failed to see, as Jesus points out, that In his Ten Commandments, God demands absolute obedience, perfect obedience, holiness, perfect obedience from a pure heart, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And anything short of that, God counts as sin. He doesn't grade on a curve. He demands perfect obedience. Now, failing to see this, the Pharisees thought, we're keeping them. They taught a keepable law. Jesus taught a law that isn't keepable. Or, let's put it more carefully, Jesus taught a law that can be kept by only one person, himself. Now, if you say, God doesn't demand perfection, he wouldn't command us something from us that we can't give. If God doesn't demand perfection and perfect obedience to his law, then why did Jesus have to be perfectly obedient in our place? David in North Bergen, New Jersey says, doesn't the law harden, as Paul says? Harden the heart, he means. Why add more commandments and harden sinners even more on the road and thus inflame more road rage? Well, it's true. I think he's referring to St. Paul's words in the early chapters of Romans, where he says that the law increases trespass. And it was given so that sin might be utterly sinful. And that when sinners are encountered by the law, they are shown to be utterly sinful, and they actually behave that way. Now, Paul's answer in Romans is, what we needed was not more law or laws. What we needed was someone to keep the law for us. As he puts it in Romans chapter 3, a righteousness from God that is by faith and not by works of the law. Faith in the one who kept the law for us, Jesus Christ. You know, this sounds an awful lot to me like spiritual discernment. I don't know. And let me say, so to set Andy's mind at ease, I don't think this was Benedict's doing. I don't think he sat down one night and wrote this stuff. I do think that he succumbed to the same danger that so many pastors, church leaders succumb to. If he knew that this was going out at all, it probably came from a PR firm, a marketing firm that told him this is a good idea. The bright ideas of marketing pinheads who think that they can make the church more relevant. And I'm talking about marketing pinheads inside and outside the church who think they can make the church more relevant. I mean, that's my suspicion about why the Vatican issued this. Roland in St. Louis says, how about the Ten Commandments of public restroom usage or the Ten Commandments of not using 10 items only lane in the grocery store? We have 22 items. That's true. I spend a lot of time in that line at the grocery store. And the sign is very clearly posted, right at eye level, 12 items or less. Pastor Glenn Merritt's going to join us here in just a moment. We're going to be talking about some relief efforts in the aftermath of the Texas floods. Before we welcome Pastor Merritt, let's listen to the CBS News story on those floods in Texas and the devastation that was brought by those heavy rains.
You get past the bridge, the debris is unreal.
On swollen waterways, Texas game wardens today searched for flood victims. Three people were missing, two of them small girls.
And especially when you go to recovering a small child, if that's the case here, that affects you. It's hard.
Searchers later found one of the missing girls. She was just 2 years old. Her five-year-old sister and grandmother also drowned. After yesterday's flooding, at least six Texans are now confirmed dead. Today, Gainesville's ground search was door-to-door, knocking down doors when necessary to get answers. Pamela Woods lost nearly everything and still considers herself lucky.
A lot of people cry and complain over furniture or a washed-away house when they don't understand or realize that a mom lost their children.
Little Kylie and Joshua are both fine. To their parents, that's all that matters. Mark Strassman, CBS News, Gainesville, Texas.
Pastor Glenn Merritt is our guest. He's Disaster Response Director for LCMS World Relief, joining us to talk about the Texas floods, the aftermath, and the relief efforts that are underway there. Pastor Merritt, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you again.
What is the greatest need that you have encountered down there as you survey the damage? I know you're not there now, but as you surveyed the damage after these Texas floods.
Well, actually, I haven't been on site, even though I live right in the area of the floods. I've been in California the last few days. But I have been in contact with the circuit counselors in the area. And once again, you know, the greatest need is the transitional housing and immediate relief to provide for personal items that people may need.
What's the scope of the damage here?
Well, it's going to be a couple of hundred homes for sure in the northern part, in the Gainesville, Sherman, Denton area, and less than that in Haltom City, but certainly a number of homes damaged in Haltom City as well.
So how are the relief efforts progressing?
Well, what we've done is made the contacts with the Texas District and with Lutheran Disaster Response, as we always do, so that we can coordinate the relief that we will be providing in Texas. And then tomorrow I'll be on site there in the area and be able to give a better evaluation of that.
Are there congregations that have been affected by these floods, Pastor Merritt?
Well, in my discussion with the Texas District and the circuit counselors, they indicate that none of our congregations were directly affected. The buildings, facilities, our professional church workers, but also indicated that it's likely that we have LCMS members who have been affected by the flooding.
Could you also give us an update on the tornado damage and the relief efforts after the tornado damage in Texas, in Greensburg, in this case, that town that was pretty much wiped off, that was Kansas, that was pretty much wiped off the face of the earth in Kansas after a devastating tornado there?
Well, we're working with the governmental agencies and non-governmental agencies, as well as the Kansas Lutheran Disaster Response Coalition, in order to facilitate right now bringing in volunteers, providing volunteer housing and food services, hygiene units, and that type of thing. The volunteers that are needed right now are either large groups who can walk these fields to pick up debris that's scattered over a wide area, miles and miles, and then also smaller groups that have skills so that they can do the skilled labor as the rebuilding gets underway. Very little has happened to date as far as rebuilding homes. It's still a cleanup process, and the large equipment is still in there trying to get the debris fields cleared away so that rebuilding can occur.
Are there still people, and I'm thinking here about the Greenburg, Kansas victims, are there still people who, apparently since no homes have been rebuilt, in the area living in temporary housing?
Well, not too many. Most of them were able to go with family or friends. It was a fairly close-knit community, but able to go with family or friends, or have found other housing that was available in cities nearby, as much as 50 mile radius. And then there are some who are living in motels, the motels in Pratt, Kansas, and in the other neighboring cities.
Does that present a need, too? I mean, it can't be cheap to spend months and months and months living in a hotel without any, not eating out of your own kitchen, things like that.
Certainly, and that's where we came, World Relief and Human Care comes to the forefront when we offer our LCMS members emergency relief assistance and transitional relief assistance, and then also provide for the greater community, speaking of that $200,000 matching fund that World Relief and Human Care is doing, and that's been we've had a good response to that, but more is needed as the work continues there. And what we're finding out is, as case management segments get underway, that there's going to be some real long-term needs. The projections are that even by the first of the year, the infrastructure will not be restored in Greensburg.
What can our listeners do, back to the issue of the Gainesville area in Texas? What can our listeners do right now through LCMS World Relief to help the victims down there?
Well, again, the contributions are what are needed right now so that we're able to facilitate a response. The second thing would be After I get there and make an assessment, I'll know more whether we're going to need volunteers in that area or what type of specific needs there are. And that'll be a day or two in coming because our pastors are just getting out there now and Lutheran Disaster Response just getting out there to do an assessment now.
Folks, you can earmark a donation to help the victims of the Texas floods or the Kansas tornadoes or both by calling 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. You can also look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Pastor Glenn Merritt is Disaster Response Director for LCMS World Relief. Pastor Merritt, thank you again for being our guest.
Thank you. My privilege to be with you again.
It was after my fourth abortion that I just had a gut instinct way down deep inside. There has to be something wrong with killing your offspring.
Well, that's Star Parker. She's a black conservative Christian. And she was speaking there as she co-hosted ABC's The View yesterday. Now, do you watch The View? Lots of people do. And Rosie O'Donnell was for about a better part of a year the host of The View. Apparently, their ratings went through the roof. Now, she's not the host anymore. That raises another question. Who would you choose to replace Rosie O'Donnell on The View? If you watch, why do you? And if you don't, why not? Would it make a difference to you if someone like Star Parker, a conservative Christian, were part of the four-woman panel that makes up ABC's The View? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. I want to hear from you. Here's more from Star Parker.
I went to church with them. They kept bothering me to come to their church. And, yeah. You know, you're right. I mean, had I known a lawyer from the ACLU, I may have sued them for religious harassment. But I didn't know any lawyers, so I ended up at their church. And, you know, I heard the gospel. And it really, it just gave me a peace.
It was an interesting interchange. It really was. The questions that were being asked of Star Parker, she's there as one of the co-hosts. She's an activist. She is has been very active in urban renewal and development, and she's a conservative Christian. So how does she become a Christian? Her friends invited her to church, and she heard the gospel. Would this be the kind of addition to ABC's The View that would make you a viewer of The View if you're not already? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. If you could choose the new host, there are three ladies, and then there's the host, the person who kind of runs the show there. Rosie O'Donnell was, now she isn't anymore. Who would you choose to replace Rosie O'Donnell on The View? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's Star Parker again as she co-hosted The View, explaining her conversion to Christianity.
What is it when you are actually born again?
Yeah, what does it mean?
You say, Lord, come into my heart and mm-hmm. just live with me and guide me every day. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you just start making different decisions.
All right. That's an interesting way to represent being born again. You issue an invitation to Jesus to come into your heart, and then when he does, you start making better decisions. I got to say, look, if typical answer from the average American, pop American Christian congregation, that's pretty much it. It's an interesting take on, Jesus has a different answer to that question, by the way, when he talks about what it means to be born again, but we'll get to that in a minute. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Interesting, after Rosie O'Donnell left, Rosie O'Donnell being a strong advocate of the homosexual lifestyle, of gay marriage, and of gay adoption, having adopted some children with her lesbian partner as well. After she left the show, now Star Parker helps co-host here, and she offered her thoughts on gay marriage.
When it says honor your father and your mother, he's talking about a household here. When Jesus says, for this reason a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, we're talking about family development. And the people that come from a biblical worldview have to take that seriously.
Hey, this is rare, isn't it, to hear this? When we've got just about everybody and their dog in answer to the question of gay marriage, of public status, saying, you know, live and let live. Or they'll say, you know, marriage, I think I feel better about a man and a woman. I'm uncomfortable with the man or the woman thing, but maybe we could have some civil unions. Here's someone who's just saying, if you take a biblical worldview, you're going to take the Bible's view of marriage seriously. It is refreshing. Come to think of it, would Star Parker make a good replacement for Rosie O'Donnell as the host of The View for you? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Star Parker, co-host of The View yesterday, also had something to say about evolution.
Do I believe in evolution?
Yes.
Like, did we evolve from ape? How can I believe that when I believe the scripture that says God created? Why would I believe evolution?
Well, people say that they can believe in both. I've heard that from many
people. I've heard it from. I'm thinking now, right. How in the world do you do that?
All right, ladies, I want to hear from you. I know that The View is a very popular program. I know that lots of you watch it. Perhaps even with, you know, we talked about Oprah before, and the ladies call in and they say, I watch Oprah, but, you know, I don't take it all that seriously. What about The View? I imagine that second to Oprah, or maybe Dr. Phil, second to Oprah, The View's got to be one of the most popular programs that women watch. It's geared toward women. It is entirely geared toward women. It's a group of women talking from a woman's perspective. They're doing their best to reach you as their audience, as their viewers. Now, they've lost their very controversial but also ratings-making host, Rosie O'Donnell, on The View. So who would you choose to replace her? Star Parker, I don't think they're trying her out, but they have to have someone to fill that fourth seat. And Star Parker comes in, and she doesn't sound like Rosie O'Donnell. And she's not only quoting the Bible and representing a Christian perspective, but unequivocally doing so. In that answer about evolution, she says, how could I believe in evolution when I believe what the Bible says about creation? And bear in mind that evolution's been a topic with our politicians and our presidential candidates, and a very rare occasion to hear anyone say, I believe in the six-day creation. Most of them are saying, I believe in both evolution and a six-day creation, or some kind of a creation. So who would you choose to replace Rosie O'Donnell on The View after this break? I want your answer to that question. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Your phone calls, your email on this issue after the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines Issues Etc. this Wednesday, and it's the 20th of June. issuesetc@kfuo.org. 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. When we come back from this break, we'll also be, we'll stay on this question, but when we come back from this break, we'll also spend some time listening to that Mormon elder. We began a conversation yesterday. He had a lot more to say, and we'll pick it up where we left off on the issue of polygamy. So The View is a popular show. I know that the producers are probably worried about the ratings slipping since Rosie left. They're looking for someone to replace her. If you could choose the head seat on ABC's The View, who would it be? I want to hear from you ladies. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.